Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after, 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to distill things down to what's really important, keep it simple, execute it well, and get real and efficient results so that business owners can get the recognition that they deserve. So I am super excited to introduce Miriam LePooner. Now, Miriam is a veteran PR pro who spent a decade and a half leading the PR efforts for Kohler. Now, over the years, she launched and managed countless products, initiated and promoted dozens of designer and influencer collaborations, was a founding member of the social media team, promoted dozens of industry events, trade shows, and showroom openings. And knowing what makes the brand, shelter, and trade media tick was key for her team to generate thousands of media placements, not just in high-profile design magazines, but also in the mainstream consumer media, trade media, national broadcast, and online. And now she's realizing her true passion, which is to help small business owners learn how to do their own PR. With her background in the home and design industry, Miriam provides interior designers and decorators affordable and fun ways to get ink for their businesses, projects, and products without having to spend a lot of time or money. Well, welcome, Miriam. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Hi, Wendy. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And, I just love how you're helping, small business owners, those interior designers and decorators, learn really how to get their company, their products, their businesses seen and heard just like the big cats. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Yes. It always honestly was inspired by an interior designer friend of mine who told me that there was a real need within the field for this type of service. So it just took me a little while to figure out how exactly I could do that. But my passion really is to help other small business owners. And as one myself, I can relate to so many of the issues.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like an overwhelming sea of competitors and just, there's so many different avenues for businesses now to get out there and be seen and heard. So it can be, quite a daunting, task to be able to do that for themselves. So, but I'm curious here, what exactly was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own coaching and consulting practice?
Well, that's a loaded question because honestly, I had known for a very long time that I really would love to be in business for myself because I never really liked it when people told me what to do. That's a problem.
Does that go way back to when you were a kid?
Probably. If you ask my parents, they'd probably confirm that. But in the corporate setting, you're just one little wheel in a big machine, and you have to do, obviously you want to do what's best for the organization, but there's sometimes very little wiggle room for creativity or for innovation and trying new things. And that always somewhat bothered me, but I hadn't figured out you know, I wasn't quite ready to jump ship and just go out on my own. So I actually started a side business probably 9 years ago, and I joined a direct sales company. And I thought that might be an avenue for me to slowly work myself out of my corporate career. And it didn't quite do that, but I will say that along the way, I learned very many things, you know, starting from mindset and personal development to different sales and marketing and social media tactics that really helped me once I did take the leap. So I'd say whatever you do, you know, and it's the journey that counts, and whatever you do will bring you learnings that you can utilize in your next step. But yeah, the tipping point was when, after almost 15 years at Kohler, I got a new boss, and we pretty quickly realized that we were not seeing eye to eye.
That happens.
And I think I'd come to a point where I couldn't really go anywhere else with my career, and that's frustrating. And it was time to move on, and that's what I did. And and everything developed from there. You know, it's your first plan may not work out just quite as you had imagined, but then, you know, if one door closes, another one opens up, and here we are today.
Yeah. I love the fact that, you know, even though you held this obviously very important and probably well-paying job at Kohler, and you're doing what you love, you know, I'm assuming PR work, but you just always had, it sounds like, this burn to be able to make your own decisions, express your full creativity, you know, run the ship the way you wanted to run it, and not have a boss that was, you know, maybe creating a little bit of friction. Yes. I should say. So that overcame, I would imagine, any fears, because it's a big leap to jump out on your own and into your own business out of a nice corporate role. So that's really interesting to me how you, even though you had this obvious important role within Kohler, which is a well-known stable company, to just take that leap of faith. So, and, you know, I realize you were leading the PR initiatives there at Kohler for, like you said, over or nearly 15 years. But so how long have you had, you know, this business? I know you got into network marketing, but your PR work, how long have you had that, and has your business mission or vision evolved during that time?
Yes. Very much so. So I've been out on my own full time for just over 4 years. And I honestly had a little PR burnout when I first left my corporate career, not surprisingly. You know, and but because of my job and my side business, I'd always done a lot of networking. And I will say that's something that I highly recommend, because you just never know when whatever connections you have are going to come in handy. And when I first left, I took a little time out, and I wasn't really quite sure what direction I was going to want to take things in. But then I had people reach out to me who were looking for freelance PR consulting.
Nice. That's great.
And I'm like, well, I mean, I know how to do this, you know, you want to pay me for it? I'm like, okay, I like you, you know, I think I can help you. So that's how I started consulting with brands, which is, you know, it's my bread and butter. That's what really what I did internally for all those years. So that's great. But then I started thinking about helping other, and I love all entrepreneurs, but I have a special passion for female entrepreneurs, because as a woman myself, I just know that there's some added challenges there. And I'm like, it just so happens that in the interior design field, there's a lot of women, and I'm happy to help men too, by the way. They're more than welcome to join my service too. But I was talking with so many people, and it became apparent, you know, that a lot of interior designers are small business owners, and they can't afford to pay a publicist $5,000 every month just to get some press, right? That's a lot of money. And so I started to think about ways that I can sort of demystify it for them. And I knew I can't be doing the work for them because I do need to get paid, you know, what I'm worth when I do work. But so I created a do-it-yourself approach for them that's really scaled back, you know, because in my career, I've seen I've worked with big agencies, small agencies, freelancers. I've been on all sides of the PR field, and I know exactly what works and what doesn't work. And creating big plans and out of the box thinking and these big sky ideas, that's for the big companies, you know. But if you're an entrepreneur, there's certain things that you need to know, and they're very basic, and then you actually need to do them. And if you do that consistently, you're very well capable of doing your own PR and getting press for yourself and your business. So my mission is to impart that on people and provide a little bit of guidance and coaching and counseling and encouragement and accountability along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is great. I love that because, you know, like you said, when you have a very small business, maybe you're a solopreneur, you're actually delivering the work, you're out there, you know, staging homes or working with their clients, you know, with all the color, but then you're back and you're also at the desk and the computer trying to get your company out there with all the marketing efforts and initiatives and, you know, sales.
and absolutely.
Is so critical because if you aren't getting found, your brand isn't getting recognized through, I'm guessing, a lot of different avenues these days. It's easy to get, like I said earlier, lost in that sea of competition. So really important work that you're doing. So as your business kind of went through this different phase of, you know, going from your network that you had developed, reaching out to you for freelance work, to really landing in this niche of interior design and decorators, have there been any big roadblocks that you've had to overcome along the way besides just finding your niche?
It definitely. I mean, there have been a number of roadblocks, and there still are many roadblocks, quite
it's
honestly.
Not done?
I don't think it ever stops.
After 4 years, you mean it's not done?
But that's okay. And honestly, I think that's part of the fun. Because
that's what you bought into, right? That creativity, that opportunity to...
I love to learn. You know, thankfully, I love to learn because I think the biggest roadblock for me was that... So I come from a corporate environment where you're focused on a very small niche that you're doing the work in, and everything else is done by other people, right? So when I started my my membership for interior designers, I needed a platform, right? Which meant this, and it's all online these days. So I had to build a website for myself. You know, I had to build a course for myself, and I know the content, but just the tech background was daunting, to say the least. It was very overwhelming at the beginning, and it's gotten a little better, you know, maybe eventually I'll outsource it, but it was very rewarding to learn how to do that. But that was a huge challenge, you know, and I'm sure you can relate, as can many of your listeners, but when you're a one woman show, you know, I'm my own tech support, I'm my own customer service, I'm my own finance department, you know, I'm the everything. So, and it's fun, but it's a lot. So, you know, I try to focus on what I'm really good at and then focus on just being good enough for some of the other things.
Yeah.
Which,
so that is a good point, you know, to get to a level that it's good enough, you know, which kind of is around my next question is, you know, what did you do to overcome that tech challenge, you know, the barrier mm-hmm. to, okay, I need to get a great website up there. I need to mm-hmm. have a phenomenal platform that's hosting my online content. It has to be user friendly and fun and mm-hmm. all those kinds of things. So what did you do to overcome that, you know, that barrier with your tech knowledge?
I'm a recovering perfectionist. So it was a real challenge. And honestly, for my website, I had hired somebody and paid somebody to build a website for me that I never ended up using.
Oh no.
Because I wasn't happy with it. Yeah. And there were so many iterations of the content that in the end, I ended up building my own. And mm-hmm. I am by no means a web designer, but there are platforms out there today that allow you as a layperson to build a website that's decent. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but it works. It really does work and it looks okay. And people can't tell that a PR person built this. I had to just, you know, scale back my own expectations
mm-hmm, right
on what I really need, and I just had to get started before I was ready, because right. I would have never been ready. It would have never been perfect.
Surrender to that and realize, yes. Okay, Miriam, it is good enough. Let's go.
Yes.
Sounds like you had to have some fireside chats with yourself.
Yes, a lot, all the time.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely relate with that. So, and you know, Miriam, you're obviously an expert at helping those interior designers and decorators create affordable and I love the fact that it has to be fun ways mm-hmm. to get press for their businesses and to, you know, get out there and get mm-hmm. coverage for their businesses, their projects and products. But I'm curious, how do you feel about the client enrollment or, you know, sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set. Do you have yes. any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
I definitely do. I think selling and actually asking for money is just something that's somewhat counterintuitive, because I like to help people, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'd like to just give everything away and help everybody with everything that they need help with, but that's not a good business model.
Right. Well, it's interesting because in your corporate role, you didn't have to ask for, you know, yes. okay, I just completed this project, so that'll mm-hmm. be, you know, X amount of dollars. No, you were on a salary and you just gave.
Yeah.
So that was your mindset for many, many, many years. So it's interesting. Okay. So go ahead. So that shifting that mindset to where you're mm-hmm. actually asking for, you know, remuneration.
Yeah. And it's, to me, it's very different if I'm working with a big company, mm-hmm. because then the person that I'm dealing with, it's not actually their money. Mm-hmm. You know, the money comes from the big corporate account. So it doesn't impact them to the degree that it impacts a solopreneur or a small mm-hmm. business owner, because right. to them, every $100 that comes out of their account at the end of the month, it actually means something. So mm-hmm. I really am conscientious of that. And sometimes I feel bad, but like I said, I do have to get paid too. So that's a little bit of a struggle mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I have my services priced, obviously, and I think the price is very fair, but it's still money. Right. And I do understand that I'm offering value, so I do want to get paid for it. But that, I'd say that actually asking for money part, that's the mm-hmm. hardest part for me.
Right. Yeah. No, I can understand that. And you're definitely not alone in that discomfort about that part of being in business. But let me pose it to you this way. So if Kohler didn't have a PR department, mm-hmm. didn't have you and your team from the very beginning, let's say that they just, that was a gap in their understanding of what they needed when Mr. or Mrs. Kohler started out, and where do you think that company would be today if they just did not have a PR department, people that did what you did? Mm-hmm.
Yes, they would not be where they are now.
Right.
It's a very critical
close
piece of the
business. Right. Every bathroom would not see color.
True. Yes.
Because that's pretty much, you go in any bathroom, I don't care whether it's commercial, residential, Kohler.
True.
You know?
Yes.
And so if Kohler did not have a PR person, and then a team, and then a full department, and then people like you that really were spearheading all these different, places to get out there and be seen and known and heard and, front facing, that corporation would not even, who knows, they might not even be around today. Yeah. Okay. So if you have that mindset, I'm not getting in a conversation about Kohler. I'm getting into a conversation about your mindset. And yes, a solopreneur has their funds. The money is going to go either to their business, or maybe it's going to go to their vacation, or maybe it's going to go to their kids' college tuition. You know, but that's their decision. And for you, in just really owning what huge impact that having a, not only are you giving them, you're transferring your knowledge and your wisdom, but I'm sure you've got ABC, 1, 2, 3, connect the dots. Since your approach is helping them with the do-it-yourself, mm-hmm. you're meeting them really where they're at with the knowledge and expertise of what a giant corporation has been utilizing for themselves to get out there and be seen and heard. So my main point here is, and of course, the solopreneur is going to say, ooh, I don't know if I have budget, enough. That's a lot more than I thought. But I will tell you this, if you enter into this enrollment conversation with any sort of, ooh, I don't know if they're going to be able to afford me mindset, more times than not, that's the response that you're going to be getting. And so if you bring into the enrollment conversation the bigger picture, seeing their business like the early phases of Kohler, what would their business be with the team that you were a part of with Kohler? And you're transferring, you're giving them the tools, the techniques, the technology, the wisdom, everything in a nice toolkit. And I'm sure it's much more robust than that. But to go unpack it, apply it, you're giving them the hands-on, shoulder-to-shoulder support. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, now instead of their business playing small in the small leagues, they can play big. And so with you just owning that mindset and not even giving any sort of attention to, $100, $200, $2,000 for them is a lot of, you don't even know. It's not your business.
Good point.
That is not your business. You are not in their finance department. That is not part of your role. Mm-hmm. So my main point is harness the value of what you have delivered for decades, more than a decade and a half mm-hmm. for a major corporation. And if they didn't have you and your predecessors, that corporation would not be anything today. And you are giving this interior designer, decorator, that same runway, and it's powerful mm-hmm. and it's impactful. So claim it, own it, stand strong. So hopefully that helps you to shift your mindset, because I firmly believe that anything that we're going into our conversation with of our own limiting beliefs is going to be activated within the person we're speaking with.
No, thank you, Wendy. That's I had never thought about it in relation between those two things, but that's a really good point.
Yeah, yes, good. Thank you. Well, hopefully that'll give you a little bit more wind in your sails, your next conversation. So, and be sure to let me know.
Yes, I will.
And, Miriam, I'm curious here. We have just, I would like to say, come out of the woods in terms of the pandemic. I know it's mm-hmm. still pretty much in the woods in some areas of the world, definitely. And I'm not, belittling or trying to lessen the severity of what's still at stake. But for the majority of Americans, anyway, here in the States, we've been through the big lockdown and, you know, the whole scarcity and fear and a lot of things have been at stake, right? Our health, finances, you know, social health and well-being, just so many different things. Mm-hmm. But there has been a lot of ripple effects from that as well. So I'm just curious here from your vantage point and based on the work that you do, what has been the impact of the pandemic?
I really think that when it first started out, it was actually the impetus for me to actually execute my plan for my online platform for my DIY PR for interior designers, which I'd had it thought out pretty much already for about a year. But, you know, I was busy, you know, children, clients, things, you know, and I just never got around to it. And when the pandemic hit, I was like, I need to have a plan B because I was working with some corporate clients, but there's more of a, they're bigger clients. And if I know how it goes in corporate, the first people who are let go are the contractors and the freelancers, because you don't really need them. Mm-hmm. And I was just anticipating that that might happen to me in some cases. And I'm like, I need to figure out, you know, I need to figure out a plan B. So I sat down and that's when I actually started building my course and my membership platform, my website, everything, my brand.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
Nice. And yeah, it was energizing and it was exciting and it was the right point in time because the knowledge, the online knowledge economy really took off at the beginning of the pandemic because everybody was holed up at home.
Yes.
People still had to run their businesses. So some of them actually had more time than they had before, especially like for interior designers, because they didn't go on site visits, you know, there were fewer client meetings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And everybody took a step back and said, well, what do I need to do to drive my business forward? And PR is something that all interior designers, decorators, remodelers, they all understand that they actually need it. It would be really helpful, but it's this super intimidating concept. They don't really know what it is. They don't really know how it works. They certainly don't know where to start. And they just know it's going to either be a lot of work or a lot of money. So it usually takes a back seat, right? And my concept is designed to take away some of those fears and make it simple, you know, mm-hmm. help people understand that they can actually do it. So yeah, so the pandemic really is, it's thanks to the pandemic that I launched.
Yeah, it was really the catalyst. Yeah,
yes, it was. Great. Absolutely.
And not only was it perfect timing for you, but bringing your information forward in a DIY format mm-hmm. when the interior designers and decorators had the time on their hands to, okay, well, let me invest in myself. Let me, mm-hmm. you know, gain some new skills and learn how to get out there in a bigger way and, you know, add that or augment that facet of my, you know, my marketing and visibility. So the timing was perfect on both sides.
Yes.
Both you and your clients. So
coincidentally, yeah, it all worked out.
Right. Absolutely. So, well, how do you work with interior designers and decorators who want to finally build bold, you know, mm-hmm. recognizable brands? They're getting out there, they're getting pressed, they're getting, you know, found and seen and heard. Can you share a little about your philosophy or your approach?
Yeah, absolutely. So my basic approach actually is similar to my interior design clients and my brand clients. I only want to offer them what they need to get the best results because nobody has too much time or too much money. Right. So I want to distill it down to the essentials, you know, the fundamentals of what they need to get success. Mm-hmm. And in the case of interior designers, it's really not that hard. So I created a 5-week course where I teach them the basics of what they need to know to plan, to figure out their goals, you know, because you want to know why you're doing it when you're doing it. And then right. you can decide what kind of media coverage you're going after. And then it's basically a two-pronged approach. I have some really easy tools that can get you short-term coverage because we all like quick successes. Mm-hmm. And in PR, that can be difficult. It's very much a long-term endeavor overall. But there are ways that you can get into it and reward yourself for the work that you're doing very quickly, like within the first month or two, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then there's the longer term approach where you want to think about bigger placements, you know, and have a project feature in a magazine or a profile that requires a little more work and a little more lead time. So there's the course that teaches them that, and I think we've all taken courses and we take the course and we're very enthusiastic. And then, you know, you sort of peter out because it's hard to stay motivated, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I also created a membership that's intended as a continuation of the course where I offer them hands-on opportunities, you know, so they don't have to go out and find them. I spoon feed them media opportunities that they just have to submit to. And I also help them craft pitches. So when they reach out to media and try to get coverage for their projects or some of their ideas. So it's pretty much a coaching approach where they do the work, but I help them every step of the way. Mm-hmm. And there's also a community aspect that helps with accountability, you know, because if you say in front of a group, I'm going to do this, you're much more likely to actually do it than if you just talk to yourself. Right. So there's those two components. And I do offer extra help in like more of a done for you package for people who just they'd rather pay a little more and not do so much work themselves. That's available too.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, I love that. It sounds like you've really brought it into bite-sized chunks that are understandable and easy to implement and you know, for the short term and the long term goals, and to really build that solid foundation of coverage and getting out there in those different avenues. And I love that you also then have created a membership which you present the opportunities, because like you said, okay, I've got the skills and everything, I know how to do it, but now I'm back into my lost in my work and I forget and I miss all these opportunities to get out there. So I love that additional support that you provided through this membership. Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, how can listeners learn more about you and your expertise and some of these offers?
Yes. So there's a couple of ways. My website is getinkdiy.com, and ink stands for press coverage, not for tattoos, like some people think. So it's getinkdiy.com. And I've also just last week actually launched a podcast with a couple of like-minded colleagues. One's a digital marketer and the other one is an interior designer and an app creator. So we have a podcast and actually a clubhouse room every week. It's called Designer Discussions. And there's a website. It's called designerdiscussions.com. Okay. And it's all about helping interior designers, decorators, architects. Actually, it's helpful for all kinds of entrepreneurs, frankly, because it's just advice on marketing, branding, PR, and some business tips as well.
Great. Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic. And I'm guessing you're out there on some of the social platforms?
Yes, absolutely. Instagram is probably best. You can, of course, find me, Miriam Lipuner, on LinkedIn. If you're not necessarily in the interior design space, I'm happy to connect with all fellow entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I'm also on Facebook.
Okay, fantastic. So website is getinkdiy.com. And I love this new podcast that you've launched with your friends and partners and, you know, cohorts there. So it sounds like you've got a lot of the different bases covered, not just PR, but marketing.
Yes, we do. Absolutely.
Yeah. Ad work, that kind of thing, which are all critical components. So that is Designer Discussions, correct?
Yes, correct.
Designer Discussions. Mm-hmm. And then we can also follow you on Instagram as well as LinkedIn and Facebook.
Yes, absolutely. You okay. can find me and just put my name in Google and it'll go crazy because I'm a PR person.
Doesn't surprise me. Yeah, Miriam. All right. Well, fantastic. Well, you've already shared so many golden nuggets here during our conversation, but if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your business or maybe businesses, right? From mm-hmm. in the early phases with your network marketing, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Yes. And I think all of us entrepreneurs come to that point again and again.
Right.
But what I always try to remember is showing up is 80% of what it takes to be successful. Honestly, right. If you question your skills, you know, that's one thing, but you just keep learning and you just keep showing up and things are going to happen. I believe in karma. You know, if you put in the effort, the universe is going to give it back to you manyfold eventually. So you just have to keep building momentum before your plane can take off. And that can seem like a really, really long time, but it will. So don't stop before it does.
I love that. Yeah. 80% is showing up. Just keep showing up. Yeah, that's great. I love that. It is powerful wisdom. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course.
And Miriam, it's just been so great hearing about your journey from leading the PR efforts at Kohler to the impactful work you're now doing as a PR coach and consultant, helping interior designers and decorators learn affordable and fun ways to get ink, as you call it, for their businesses, projects, and products without having to spend a lot of time or money. So I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Wendy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Miriam Lapooner through her website, and that is getinkdiy.com. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Google her name, and that's Mirjam. Lapooner is Lippuner. I'm sure you can find all sorts of different ways that she's getting herself out there and known. And be sure to look in the show notes for the hyperlinks to the social media platforms as well. And check out her new podcast, Designer Discussions. And look for that website as well, designerdiscussions.com. All right. Well, for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've activated all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Miriam Lapooner. And as always, here's to your success.